I want to invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. I want to share with you some ideas today about the calling. The calling. And when we hear that word, a lot of times we think about just people like pastors and evangelists, missionaries. We think of those people who are called into a specific ministry profession, so to speak, and that's where we kind of leave it. Anytime we hear someone say, "I'm called to the ministry" or "I'm called to do this," that's kind of how we think of it, and we limit. We sometimes catch ourselves limiting those ideas and the idea of being called into those areas, but we're cutting that way short. I mean, we're doing a disservice to the idea of the calling when we do that. So I want to share with you a story from Scripture this morning, and then we're going to kind of talk about this idea about what it means to be called and what that might look like. So in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev." Heavenly Father, this is your word, and I just ask you to bless it and use it for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Abram, 75 years old, doing his own thing. God comes to him one day and decides he's going to call him to a different place. I want us to think for a few minutes about what it means to be called. I guess that's the first idea in this whole sermon. What does it mean to be called? And there are a few different elements of the calling that I want us to think about. And I know we're not doing children's church now. We're going to do things a little bit different. But to help with a part of this message, the very first part of this message, I want even the older kids, Lexi, Cam, can you guys come up here for a minute? If you would normally go downstairs, I just need your help. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, I promise. Bring them on up here. There are different elements of this idea about the calling, and one of the things I want us to think about when we're called to do something, it means we're selected or we're chosen for something, right? How important is it? How does it make us feel to be chosen? I forgot to bring Lexi's basketball from home, so I went downstairs and got this one out of the teen room. Yeah, there's a basketball player. Lexi's playing. They've all played basketball and different sports and things like that. So when I think about being chosen, here's what I think about. I think about all those years that we were in school and we can go out on the playground or we're out on the softball field or we're at a church youth group. My youth group growing up used to play softball. We'd have softball parties during the summer. And, you know, you always kind of lined up. You'd pick two captains. captain? Who else is a captain? All right, I'm gonna. Now it can't be brother and sister. You guys can't be competing against each other. So you guys are captains. Come, what? Well, why are you still down there? So here's the deal. Once the captains are chosen, then everybody's lined up, you know, and you have all these people to choose from, then you start picking your teams, right? All right. You want to be a captain too? Or I already made her. You want to be a captain? Yeah, of course. How did I know that? All right, you can come over here. Now, you got these two up here, and you got all those people out there. Who are you going to choose to be on your basketball team? You can pick it. Why? Why are you picking her? I'm just asking. It's nothing wrong with it. You have no idea. Okay. Who you want on your team? You can't have him on your team. He's the other captain. Is there somebody out there you want on your team? Or you want Lexi on your team? All right. So see, we so we keep going through, and we, you know, we kind of go through the cycle of picking everybody, right? Well, she was chosen first. You were chosen second. How does it feel? How does it make you feel to be chosen to be on someone's team? Feels good, doesn't it? There you go. How does it make us feel if we're picked? Anybody in here ever been the last one picked to be on a team? How does that make you feel? That's kind of like, well, I'm just playing by default, right? All right, thanks, guys. You guys can go sit down. It's this idea of being chosen, though, and that's part of the calling. Everyone that is called, I would let you keep that, but I'm afraid of what you do with it during church. Everyone who is called in Scripture has been chosen. That's part of the calling. In this case, Abram was chosen by God to do something. Not even sure what he was supposed to do yet. And we're going to get into that more a little bit later. So we have this idea of selection or being chosen. That's part of the calling. But another part of the calling is this. Once we're chosen, then we have to be gifted. Part of the calling is being gifted to do whatever God called us to do, right? So when we stop and think about that, you think, well, that's not always the case because I feel God calling me to do something that I'm not really gifted in. You ever heard that old saying that God doesn't necessarily call the qualified, he qualifies the called? Because there are some people that we're going to look at in this story, in this sermon today, that kind of fit that description. They are people who would say, once they realize what God's calling them to do, they'll realize and they stop and think, wait a minute. I don't really feel like I'm gifted in that area. I don't know that that's my strong point. But God has a way of seeing something in us that we can't see in ourselves. And then he calls us to do something, and then he gifts us and gives us the ability to do that. Here's the other aspect of being called that I want us to understand. Once we're called, once we're chosen, and then once God begins to gift us, then there's this idea of empowerment or being given the authority to do what God calls us to do. I spent 14 years in the National Guard and 5 years in law enforcement. No matter how far I worked my way up the ranks, I always had someone else that was in charge of me. And as I worked my way up through the ranks, then people would, I would ask people to do things, or I would assign people to go do things. And once they got there, they'd say, okay, who sent you? Well, Sergeant Warren sent me. Or when I went to do something, I'd say, well, my captain sent me. Okay? There's the empowerment or the authority to do what God called you to do. And we're going to look at those elements as we kind of go through and think about these people who were called to do some pretty amazing things. So we have this idea of, number one, once again, we have to be chosen. Being called means to be chosen. It means to be given the ability to carry out whatever the assignment is, and then the authority to carry it out. So who are some examples in the Bible of people that were called by God? Well, the first one is Abram. We just talked about him. We just read about him. So he's the one we're going to focus on first. And I want us to think about what he was called to do. He was called to leave the familiar and the comfortable. Yeah, I already made you mad. No, he was called to leave what he was familiar with. He's called to leave what he's comfortable with. Look at what God asked him to do. He had a comfortable life. He was married. He had acquired some wealth through livestock and other material possessions. He had servants, obviously, because the scripture talks about taking the people they had acquired while they were there with them on this journey. He had a home to live in. He stood to inherit a lot more when his father passed away. But this day, God comes to him just kind of out of the blue. This is the first instance, this is the first record in Scripture we have of any kind of conversation or interaction between God and Abram. So I don't know what's been going on behind the scenes until now, but this is the day God calls him and says, I want you to leave everything behind, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. I mean, it wasn't even like God told him, said, okay, now I want you to leave here, but I'm sending you to Indianapolis or Florida or Hawaii. There you go. He just said, I want you to go to a land that I will show you when you get there. So God asked him to leave his country or familiar territory and go to a land he didn't even know anything about. God asked him to leave his people or his family. I mean, he took his wife, Sarah, and he took his nephew, Lot, and then his servants and whatever animals and stuff, but he left his family behind. And then God told him to leave his father's household. What does that mean? That means he's leaving his future behind. Whatever inheritance, whatever wealth his father had that he would have inherited along the way, he's leaving that all behind. He's leaving everything. So what did Abram do? In verse 4, it says, Abram left just as the Lord told him to. Just as the Lord told him to. Just yesterday, Blenda was reading on Facebook a post from some people that we knew and pastored with in North Dakota all those years ago. They planted a church, pastored that church for 20 years. It was one of the fastest growing churches in the Church of the Nazarene in Fargo, North Dakota. They left that church. They resigned from that church a couple years ago or however long ago it's been now and went into some other, weren't even sure where they were going or what they were going to do. And through the course of time now, Blenda was reading that God has called them to another avenue of ministry and are actually going to be moving to the Goshen area. Pastor John's wife is going to be on staff with Crossroads Church. And one of the comments in there was they moved from North Dakota to the Kansas City area and Pastor John had been doing some things, doing some praying, and evidently at one point he said, would you ever consider moving up this way? She said, honey, I'm not moving one step north of where we are right now. We spent all those years in North Dakota, I'm not moving. Guess what? They're moving. Why? Because God called them. Abram left and did exactly what God told him to do. He's 75 years old. That's the point. I mean, come on. He's retired, right? Well, maybe not back then because they lived to be like 600 or whatever it was, a lot of those people. But I mean, this isn't a time in your life where you just pick up and do something new. But he did. He agrees to leave the people he knows and make a home with people he doesn't know anything about. He agrees to leave a secure future and start over at 75. Based on what? Based on God's promise and his belief that God would fulfill the promise. His faith. There's something about the calling that catches our attention. There's another person in Scripture that I want us to think about this morning when we talk about the calling, and his name's Moses. What did God call Moses to do? He called Moses to leave the common and the routine. How many of us ever get into a routine? How many of us think about our life as being common? Moses had a pretty common life. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, life for a lot of us is pretty common. We have a job, we have a career, we have a home, we have a family. We do the things we need to do. And a lot of times, yeah, it becomes routine. But I don't mean anything disrespectful by that. It's just the way things are. Moses was a shepherd. He's working for his father-in-law. You know what? He'd been a shepherd for 40 years. He's done the same job for 40 years. He takes care of those sheep. He walks them and leads them through the same wilderness and the same pasture area for 40 years. Good grief, Moses could have led the sheep through that pasture with his eyes closed by now. He knows where all the watering holes are. He knows where all the good feeding grounds are in the pasture land. He knows where all the good grass is. He knows where the best places to shelter if a storm comes up. He knows what to do and how to do it. He's really good at what he does. But one day he's walking by this area in the wilderness and he looks over and he sees this bush that he's probably walked past every day during the last 40 years of his life. But something's different. It's on fire. There's flame coming out of the bush, but the bush isn't being destroyed. It's not being burned up by the fire. It's just flaming. And it gets his attention. It would get yours too, wouldn't it? And then he hears a voice call him by name out of the bush, out of the flame. It said, Moses, Moses. Come here, but take your shoes off because the place you're standing is holy ground. And if you know the story, you know that in that encounter, God speaks to Moses and he calls him to go back to Egypt where he lived for the first 40 years of his life in Pharaoh's house, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. God calls him to go back there. Why? Because the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt and they've called out to God for help. And God has answered their prayer, and his answer to their prayer is to send Moses to deliver them from slavery. What's Moses do? He argues. He debates. He questions. He says, Lord, you know, I have a stuttering problem. I can't hardly complete one. I can't even finish one sentence and make sense out of it. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. No one's going to listen to me. I mean, I take care of the sheep. They don't talk back. They don't ask questions. So God says, well, I'll send Aaron with you. He can be your spokesperson. He can talk for you. I'll tell you what to have Aaron say. Problem solved, right? Gifting. The gifting to go along with the calling. Moses says, well, okay, but that doesn't solve the next problem. I'm just a shepherd. Who am I? If I go and talk to Pharaoh and try to convince Pharaoh to let your people go, to let the Israelites go, he's going to look at me and say, well, who in the world sent you? What authority do you have to be here? What did I tell you about the empowerment and the authority that goes along with the calling? You remember what God said? Tell him, I am sent you. I mean, listen, everybody back then knew what I am would have meant. Every argument that Moses had, God had an answer for it. We know how the story ends. We know God delivered them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. You see, God called a common man from his common life to do some pretty uncommon things. There's something about the calling. And I think of a man named Joshua. He was called to complete the task that Moses couldn't finish. You see, Moses got him out of Egypt. Moses got him across the Red Sea, but he couldn't get them into the Promised Land or to Canaan land. his own frustration and his disobedience caused him to be able to see into the promised land, but not to enter it. And after Moses died, God came to Joshua and he told Joshua, he said, "You're my man to finish the journey. You are going to finish the job that Moses couldn't do." Now, don't kid yourselves. His job wasn't easy. Joshua inherited a bunch of whiners. He inherited a bunch of gripers and grumblers and complainers. They complained about everything. You know anybody like that? Have you ever known anyone? Don't say their name out loud. After 40 years of wandering around the desert, they were discouraged. They were ready to give up. They didn't think they were ever going to get where they were going. They thought they were all just going to die in the wilderness. But Joshua was able to motivate them. He was able to encourage them. He was able to get them to overcome many of the different obstacles and difficulties until they finally reached the promised land. There's something about the calling. In the New Testament, we think of a man named Simon Peter. He was called to leave the secular for the spiritual. He's called to leave the secular for the spiritual. Peter was called from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men. See, there's one day Jesus is out teaching and he's out preaching like he always did. Wherever he went, there was a crowd and a multitude of people following him because everybody just wanted to hear what he had to say. They'd never seen or heard anyone or anything like him before. And he's out walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee and there's such a large crowd that he notices this boat sitting at the edge of the lake. And there's a guy in the boat washing his nets, about ready to call it a day. Jesus walks over and steps off the shore and steps into the boat and says, "Okay, push out a little bit farther away from the shore so I have room." Peter was kind of a captive audience. He's in the boat with Jesus, and Jesus is preaching and teaching to the multitude. He can't help but hear what's going on. And that encounter with Jesus was so profound that it changed his life. And it says, when they got back up to the shore, Jesus said, "If you'll follow me, I will make you a fisher of men." And it says he left everything. They left everything and followed Jesus. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. What that means to leave everything. What makes a fisherman, someone who does that for a living, what makes him leave his family behind? What makes him leave his business behind and start walking around with some guy that doesn't even have a house, doesn't have a bed, doesn't have a pillow, doesn't have a place to stay, doesn't have anything? The calling. There's something about the calling. A man named Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, put them in jail, kill them, do whatever he had to do to stop the message of Christ until he met Jesus on the way there. And he went from being a persecutor of Christians to a preacher of the gospel. And he later in Galatians said that God by his grace called me to preach the gospel to the Gentile. There's something about the calling. You're sitting here thinking, maybe you're sitting here thinking, "Well, preacher, those are some pretty good examples. We know about them, but what do they have anything to do with me? What does any of that have to do with me?" I'm glad you asked. It has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with me. It has everything to do with us. You know why? Because all of us are called. We are all called. We are all chosen. Some of our callings are specific. Some of us are called to specific things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 talks about this. It says, "It was he who gave or called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." That's where we get into this idea of the calling being those who are in the profession, so to speak, of ministry. Some people are called to specific tasks and assignments, and a lot of those have to do with ministry-related fields. But we need to understand that the calling doesn't stop there. You might feel specifically called to your given profession or career. You might be called into teaching. You might feel that you're called into being a truck driver. You might feel that you're called into nursing or the medical field. Construction, public safety. Maybe you're called to be a stay-at-home mom. Regardless of any of those things, you have a calling. And every one of those areas can be an avenue of sharing Jesus with somebody else. And that is what we are all called to do. See, when we all find and follow our calling, then we can begin to see Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 become reality. Verse 11, remember what it says? It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? To prepare God's people for works of service. My job is to do more than preach. My calling is to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So then that the body of Christ can be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, understanding and following our calling is vital to the Christian life and the effectiveness of the church. Last weekend, we were back in Missouri. Don't take any offense to this. I was back home. And the closer I got, when I was driving, even till we got there, we left here Friday evening and didn't get to the hotel in Moberly, Missouri until 1 o'clock Saturday morning. Got up, went driving around. I went out to the house, the log cabin that my dad built where I grew up. Stopped by the cemetery where my brother's buried. Stopped by the cemetery where my mom and dad are buried. Drove by, I didn't go in it, but I drove by the old church where I grew up in Moberly, Missouri. All kinds of memories came flooding back. The calling is vital. If I walked in the door of that church this morning, I could walk you up the center aisle of that church and I could walk you over to the altar on this side of the sanctuary, and I could take you almost to the exact spot where I knelt on that Sunday morning in January and I prayed until I answered God's call to ministry. That calling has led us to a lot of different places. It's resulted in a lot of fun times, a lot of good times, a lot of happy times, but I'm not going to lie to you. It's brought some pain, and it's brought some suffering, and it's brought some hurt. But there's something about the calling, and we're all called to do something. We are all called to live a life of service to God and to other people. Every one of us is called to live a life of sacrifice, to put the interest of other people ahead of our own. Every one of us is called to live a life of holiness, set apart from sin. Every one of us is called by the same person, that's God, and we're all called to the same purpose, that's to do His will. We are called to share Jesus with those who don't know Him. I still believe in the call. You can call me old-fashioned if you want. I don't really care. That's okay with me. But the call of God has a powerful impact on our lives. It changes people's lives. You see, I still believe that God calls people to leave the familiar and the comfortable behind. Those people I've known in my life who sold everything they had to go be volunteer missionaries, where they have to raise their own money to stay on the mission field. Those people who've walked away from businesses and careers to go do ministry, to go do things for God in other places of the world where they don't even know for sure how they're going to make a living. I believe he still calls people to leave the familiar and the comfortable. I believe he still called us to leave the common and the routine so that we can do and experience uncommon things. And I believe he still calls people to leave the secular and the worldly behind and grab on to what is spiritual and what is eternal. Paul says, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm constantly reaching forward. I'm reaching higher for what I know God and Jesus Christ has in store for me in the future. The calling makes all the difference. And every one of us is called. Every one of us is chosen by God. Our challenge today is twofold. The challenge is this: I need to figure out and discover what God is calling me to do. What is God calling us to do? What is God calling you to do? And then I have to decide what I'm going to do about that calling. I have to decide whether how I'm going to answer God's call in relation to this new ministry opportunity he might be giving me in the church, this new idea, this new whatever it is. How am I going to answer God's call? See, we all answer it. We all answer either by obeying God's call or ignoring it and doing something else. So we need to decide what we're going to do about it. So here's my question. What's God calling you to do? Who is God calling you to be? What has God placed in your life? What type of new idea or new calling, what type of stepping out of your comfort zone and outside of our box and outside of our routine has God placed in front of us, and now we have to decide what we're going to do about it? See, the calling relates to all of us because we're all called to do something, to be something that we otherwise would not be and that otherwise we wouldn't do. I just want us to take a minute. I just want us, right where we're sitting, I just want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. A time of prayer, examination. I want each one of us just to ask, God, what might it be? What might it be that you've chosen me to do? What is it? What is it you're calling me to do? Is there something you want me to do differently? Is there something you want me to be more involved in, some ministry, some opportunity? Where I can share your love and tell people about you in a new and different way? Is there a new opportunity you have for me? And then I think of the word of that little song we used to sing, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.